You are listening to Dash, the case of the missing detective. Chapter 2, The Disguise.
Months have passed since the night at the Turnstile Motel. The night a hulking monstrosity barreled through the door and just about slaughtered us all. But it didn't. I stopped it. I prevented a bloodbath by exploding. At least something inside of me did, anyway.
Like, some force inside of you came out. Blinding lights, deafening sound, and...
Kablam! It was gone. Just... gone. It was you who exploded. It was you!
That's the way Sal and Cindy explained it. I don't remember what happened. All I recall was that a monster almost ripped away the two people I got left in this life. The only two who give a damn, anyway.
No one else is going to die because of me. No one! And then everything goes white.
I stopped it. I saved my friends, the two who stuck so close through all of it. But at this moment, it feels like that monster succeeded, because they couldn't feel further away.
That motel room looks like a war zone. Cindy is hurt, and I have to clean all this up.
You have to clean it up?
Again.
What do you mean you have to clean this up again?
I'm fine. I'm alive. But we need to figure this out together. We're all involved. We're all on the same team.
This isn't a conversation.
This is a conversation, damn it.
There hasn't been much conversation since that night. As for Sal, well, about 2 weeks back, he randomly phoned and offered to drop by after his shift. Just to shoot the breeze with a beer or two. It was unexpected, but welcomed.
I'm on duty till 9, but I could swing by for a few.
If you got the time, it'd be good to see you, pal. Real good.
Great. I'll be there.
However, Sal never showed, which, in turn, forced me to seek alternate company.
Hello?
Hayes.
Dash?
As it so happened, his wife was out of town with family, so Hayes spent the night. And the next morning...
Hello?
Is Dash there?
No, he's... indisposed at the moment.
Indisposed?
He's in the can.
Ah. Well, tell him Sal said sorry about last night. Something came up.
Last night?
Yeah. Can you let him know?
Is this Officer Sal McGill? Oh, he mentioned you. Dash, that is.
That right?
Of course. My name is...
Look, I gotta go. Just give him the message, and thanks.
Hayes, did I hear the phone ring?
Yeah, that was Sal McGill on the phone.
Sal, wait, you answer my phone?
He said he's sorry about last night. Something came up.
He did?
Yeah. I guess you phoned me after it was clear he wasn't coming?
I guess I did.
I guess you did.
And I haven't heard from Sal since. Hayes, well, since our blow-up from the previous evening... I don't exactly know when I'll be hearing from him again. Cindy, on the other hand, I see every day. Morning.
Get a watch.
I'll have you know, it's 11:57 a.m. It's still morning.
Swell. Someone named EF wants you to ring him back. Number's on your desk.
Anything else?
No. Is there supposed to be something else?
Oh, reading Gone with the Wind again?
Yes. All of these books on my desk are just different copies of Gone with the Wind. That's what they are.
Cindy.
Call that number
It's on your desk.
Sure. Thanks.
That's my job.
And that's how it's been, since the turnstile. Since I stopped that monster with some force inside me. That's not all that happened that night.
You have a power, Dash Malone. They called it the Ouroboros. That power ends, and that power begins. And that power heals.
A man named Griff, who had become invisible by a freak accident, was indeed healed. At least that's one way of seeing it. Or not. After the turnstile, he could control his invisibility, turn it on and off like a light switch. In order to make that happen, events had to be manipulated just so. Griff was working with someone else, or several someone else's.
But you came back, and now everything is different. Just like I was told.
Who told Griff that I could do something like that? Something I didn't know myself. Something that seems unbelievable. It didn't take long for one of them to take credit. My own personal Jiminy Cricket.
Professor Abednego Shoe, at your service.
The professor has a habit of popping up when I'm in dire straits, somehow to both show me the way and leave me more confused than I already was.
Mr. Griffin's unfortunate accident and condition could never have been foreseen. However, it was an excellent test.
Test? Of what?
You. What you're capable of, now that you've been marked. Marked with the Ouroboros. Have you noticed it's changed? There used to be 6 snakes encircling each other. There are now only 5. I do apologize about that. As I said, it was a test.
A test. Did I pass? Seems like everything I did was right. A man was now healed. A monster destroyed. Everyone made it out alive. So why does it feel like I flunked? Why does everything seem worse than it ever was? And why do I keep hearing,
Dash!
I don't have any answers. Just questions. And more questions, and more goddamn questions. And liquor. I got that. Doesn't solve anything, but it sure makes the unknown easier to swallow. And I like a man that can hold his liquor. Speaking of, I should probably share some with my current client. It looks like he needs it.
Damn it!
Sure you don't need a drink? I hate to drink alone.
Keep your cheap booze.
This son of a gun in a crooked hat sitting in front of me employed my services to dig into some sordid family secrets. And now, when I presented what he's hired me to find, he's not happy about it. He's been quiet, mulling it over and over, which has caused my mind to wander.
I hate this rotten business and everyone in it!
It's a familiar scenario. Comes with the turf. When I was on the force, all I wanted was to make detective. Not just to solve crimes, but to help those that actually needed it. You had a problem, and a detective from the LAPD turned up. Boy, they'd do everything they could to get you answers, or at least to get you justice. I almost envy that naive thought. But a private investigator? I'm not here to solve or sort problems. I'm just here to confirm them.
These pictures ain't real. They can't be. They're fakes.
Guy, I am not in the business of being fake. You sure you don't want a drink? Not every day you find your cousin, did you say?
You son of a bitch! I'll kill you! You hear me?
Hey, settle down.
I'll settle you down. This is malarkey. Pure and out of bull.
Oh, is it malarkey or is it bull?
I should have known better than to ask the likes of you for help. You queer, you fat...
And before he can finish what he's saying, I leap across the desk and slam this loser up against my office wall. The plaster cracks just a little against his weight. His crooked hat falls right off his head as he puts up a pathetic struggle. You want to repeat that again? Huh? Oh, go on, say it again.
Get off me! Get off me!
How about I just break your face, huh? I'll break it so hard that anyone who looks at you...
Dash!
My wisecracking secretary, Cindy Crenshaw.
Let him go.
listen to the lady?
Yeah, I heard her. I heard her. Tonight, when you say your prayers before you go to sleep, you be sure to thank baby Jesus she stopped me.
Let him go.
I push the man harder into the wall. And then I release my grip on his cheap suit. He shakes loose quickly. He knows he was about to get pummeled, and good.
Now, let's take a minute and cool down.
I could get the law on you, you know.
You could, but considering the pictures we have on your cousin, you may want to think about how that scenario will play out.
Oh, is it blackmail, is it?
No, just contractual obligation. You're welcome to come with me to the front office and cut me a check so we can conclude this business. Or I can just go back to reading and let you alone with him again. Choice is yours.
Fine.
Don't forget your hat.
Man picks his hat off the floor where it fell. He gives me a dirty look as he heads out to the front office to pay Cindy. I flew off the handle, but he deserved it. Pour myself another drink to cool down. They conclude their business, and before Cindy can come and give me what for, I'm finished my drink.
What the hell's the matter with you?
I don't know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Forget it. I'm leaving.
Is that your line now? Anytime things get hairy, you just disappear.
I told you yesterday I had an appointment.
You did?
Yesterday afternoon, to be exact. But who knows how many bourbons you had in you. It was barely 3 p.m.
Oh, if that's the case, I might as well catch up.
Yeah, you might as well. Keep in mind I need tomorrow off, too. I have a thing. It's gonna be all day.
Ah, take the day, why don't you?
Maybe you should take it, too.
Cindy leaves quickly. Click-clack of the door sticks in my ears for hours, until I see the L.A. Sun tell the city it's quitting time. At least for some. For others, it's just getting started. The front office door opens, and a voice from the past enters.
Hello?
A voice I could never forget.
Anyone here?
A voice that could melt the moon at midnight. Dinah Dacre Dawson.
Dash?
I freeze as she calls my name. I place the empty glass that contained my third whiskey on the desk and run my fingers through my hair, just to make sure it's not too much of a mess.
I said hello?
In here. Office, in the back.
Hello, Dash. It's been a while.
Dinah.
My, look at you. Look at this place.
Yeah, it's not much.
Not much to some people. Might be too much to others.
Please, sit down. Can I get you a drink?
How many would it take to catch up to you at this moment?
It's been a long day.
From the looks of it. Thank you for the offer, but I'll pass. I gotta sing tonight. You know, I don't have my first daiquiri till after we finish playing.
How can I forget? Is Smitty still there behind the bar?
Who else?
How are things at the Half Moon Street?
Missing that mug of yours?
Hell, Dinah. It's been a while. It has. For what it's worth, I'm sorry about you and Esther. I heard about that.
You heard about that? And yet, I haven't heard from you.
I did say it's been a while, didn't I?
You did. Esther's her own woman, and I'm mine. We both have different roads to go down at the moment. Maybe one day they'll cross again. Maybe they won't.
A good way to look at it.
That doesn't mean my heart's not in pieces. But every night I perform, I put it back together, one piece at a time. It's the way I survive. I got to. I'm a businesswoman after all.
Cheers to us working women.
I did see your name on the door. Dashiell Malone, Private Eye. I like the way the word eye is designed.
I wish I could take credit for that bit of flair.
Either way, it's nice. Which brings me to why I'm here.
Which brings us there. Dinah, if it's protection you're after, you know I can't. I got no influence, not anymore. In fact, nowadays, I got less than none.
There you go. Dash Malone, always selling yourself short.
I got a secretary and a liquor habit to pay for, so I'm selling myself however anyone will take me. Speaking of which, do you mind if I...
Hold on a second. Don't pour another. I need you alert. Or as alert as possible. I'm not looking for protection. It's something else. You know I don't like to come downtown. The white people look at me more suspect than other places. Not to mention there's no place that'll serve me a cup of coffee. I say this so you understand. This is important. You got me?
Loud and clear. What's happening?
People are disappearing.
People?
From the Half Moon Street. Patrons. Customers. Regulars who come every night. Chickens who just found us out. Gone.
All at once?
No, one at a time. Been happening for as early as last year, I think.
That's quite a bit of time.
Took me longer than it should have to catch on, but once I did, it's all I can see.
All right. You're saying patrons of the Half Moon Street have stopped turning up. Maybe those queers got married, like real folks.
Dash!
I'm serious. Bullock should have a section of greeting cards called Lavender Marriage. I'm sure they'd sell well.
It's not that.
Who's gone missing, specifically?
It's men. Only men.
Maybe Vice nabbed them. The Times had it a few weeks back. Reported over 1,000 sexual deviants arrested last year alone.
Numbers higher than that. They don't report the ones that don't make it.
Yeah.
But this isn't Vice. I know plenty who've been arrested for lewd conduct, sexual deviancy, cross-dressing, whatever stupid charge they got. Those people don't disappear like this. There are usually court dates, names in the paper, something you can track. Hell, the cops even call places of employment just to tell them, surprise, your son was caught kissing another man below the belt, and now he'll be a registered sex offender for the rest of his life.
You're forgetting I know all about that. Story of my life, actually.
I'm not forgetting. I was there for the whole thing. This isn't that.
What is it, then?
I started making a list. All the ones who've gone missing. It was long. We had a chicken running around recently. Cute as can be. You should have heard the way he cheered for me. Reminded me a little bit of you when we first met.
I always loved the way you sang. However, I was never much of a chicken.
I guess not. This boy's name was Tanner. He was the last name that made my list. Gone. Disappeared. I asked around. Found out where he was staying. His landlady told me she had to send his things back to his sister in Colorado.
Aren't you a regular sleuth?
It was the same story with every other name I had on the list.
Just gone. Nobody knew a thing.
No. Some had actually been reported missing to the police. Fat lot of good that'll do. Especially in this city.
What exactly do you need me for? It sounds like you could put me out of business with all the detective work you've done.
Dash, I got a list of names, but no answers. I can't sit on this and let another one go missing. Come back. Come back to the Half Moon Street.
Dinah.
I wouldn't be here if I had anyone else to turn to. You've done enough for me, but this isn't about me. Help me find out what's going on before someone else disappears.
Speaking of disappearing, does the name Griff mean anything to you?
Griff? Why do you ask?
We had a run-in recently. Realized we had met before, at the Half Moon Street. He said he knew you well.
I did know him well. He used to play trumpet for us. That sucker up and left me high and dry. I was more worried than I was mad. Disappearing was not like him.
You don't have Griff on that list, do you? He's doing fine. I can vouch for that.
Oh, I know. A few weeks back, Smitty found an envelope on the bar, just laying out in the open. Inside was a letter from him, apologizing. Even stuck some money in there.
Yeah, he does that.
When he disappeared, that's what finally made it click. What made me wake up and see what's going on, right under my nose in my own damn bar. Dash.
I can't.
This isn't a favor I'm asking. I'm paying. Extra. Whatever you need.
Dinah, I won't take your money.
Why? Our money is as green as anybody else's.
It's not about the money. You know why I can't do this.
I know what you've been through. I know what you've had to do. But I've been holding the line out here. I've been making sure the Half Moon Street is safe. I can't do that on my own anymore. Someone is attacking us. Help me stop them.
I'm sorry. I am, but I can't.
Not to bring this up, but I'm gonna. If this happened while you were on the force, when you were a cop, you wouldn't hesitate.
That's not fair.
Doesn't mean it's not true.
I'm not a cop anymore.
Then what are you?
I'm a third-rate private dick who can barely keep the lights on.
Looks like the lights are on to me.
Or keep the people he loves alive.
People could be dying now. People just like you.
Like me.
There was a time everybody in this town wanted to be Dash Malone, big hero cop. What nobody knew was that big hero cop risked his reputation to keep people like him, people like me, safe.
Until that big hero cop got found out, and he lost his reputation, he lost his influence, he lost everything. And what good is he now?
If you lost everything, then you got nothing to lose.
I'm not saying yes, but let's assume you're correct, and there's someone who knows how to get into the Half Moon Street. Who'd want to try and make people disappear? Or worse, any idea who'd be doing it? Who'd want to do something like that?
Well, the last time Tanner was at the Half Moon Street, Smitty saw him leave with one of our regulars.
Regulars?
His name is Mitch. Now, I asked Mitch personally about this, and he said...
Tanner? Yeah, I know Tanner. That cute little chicken went home with me a few nights back. He was a wild one under the sheets. What a night we had. Haven't seen him around since. Why are you asking? Did something happen to him? Oh God, tell me he's all right. Is he all right?
And you don't believe this?
Something about it. I got a feeling in my gut, you know?
I do. So if you think it's this guy Mitch, but you can't prove it, just ban him from the bar and be done with it. See if your theory's correct.
Thought about that. But if I do, and I'm right, that doesn't stop him from doing whatever he's doing somewhere else.
It wouldn't be your problem anymore.
But it would still be a problem. That's the point. There are other bars and places out there, not as safe, or in my opinion, as nice as the Half Moon Street, but still. And if not there, there are public restrooms, the Run. The world out there wants nothing more than these men to disappear. They don't care how it's done, but someone has to.
If I find out this Mitch guy has nothing to do with it...
We keep looking.
And if he does...
You leave that to me. All I need is answers, and I need you to help me get them. So?
So... I'll have to go undercover.
Undercover? Who are you, Lon Chaney?
People at the Half Moon used to know me.
I recall. You were a real heartbreaker.
Yeah, it wasn't my heart they were after, Dinah. Besides, my notoriety has increased since then.
Baby, I hate to break it to you, but you're no Cary Grant.
Maybe so, and we'll need every advantage we can get. I don't want this Mitch fella to clam up on me. I hate it when a guy does that.
I wouldn't know.
Tell Smitty, be wearing a white hat. And I'll ask to order this Mitch fella a drink. Not just any drink. A rattlesnake.
When do I tell Smitty to expect you?
You said this guy's a regular?
He's there every night.
Then I'll be there tonight.
We will return to the case of the missing detective after this commercial break.
Three men, three murders, one killer, who simply vanished. 30 years later, Crime Adjacent host Chase Patrick returns to Ridgewood to uncover how the nation's most prolific serial killer went undiscovered and why he started killing again in 2023. Crime Adjacent is the never-ending true crime story told weekly. Listen to Crime Adjacent wherever you listen to podcasts.
We now return to the case of the missing detective.
Several hours and another whiskey later, I'm at my apartment. Shower and a shave seemed in order if I was going to step back into the Half Moon Street. Water pours over me and the day washes away. A fight with Hayes, a fight with Cindy, a fight with the client. How I snapped when he called me a... So much fighting. I've been in an exile of sorts since my public disgrace. Every paper and radio show in L.A. labeled me as L.A.'s number one queer. I heard it even made the papers in Chicago, New York, Philadelphia. Hero, cop, a homo. I'll never forget the first time someone yelled at me in the street.
You fairy! You've got no right to be walking the streets free!
That was one of the nicer sentiments the Angelenos ever gave me. People threw things at me, kicked me out of their stores, the works. I might have well been a leper. And of course, it being Hollywood land and all, I had reporters after me too. They pursued me well after the news had left the headlines.
Malone, you still walking around free? How come you ain't in jail, huh? How'd you do that? People want to know.
On top of that, every cop on the LAPD that wasn't Sal felt personally betrayed by me. And they all wanted to do something about it.
Look who it is. Why, if it isn't Dash Malone. What you doing, Malone? You meeting up with some queers around this way? That why you here? Huh? Search the place.
The places and the people I used to know. Like the Half Moon Street, Dinah. None of them were safe after that. Not if I was any place near them. Which stands to reason that if I'm going to show face at the Half Moon Street, it can't be mine. I hadn't shaved in over a week. My 5 o'clock shadow started to fill out.
The 5 o'clock shadow doesn't work at 1 p.m.
I shaved my face clean, except my upper lip. I trimmed that down into a tiny mustache. Not a look I prefer, but not one that says Dash Malone either. As I towel my face off, I notice my right arm where the mark of the Ouroboros has been branded.
Doomed.
Remembering what Zita Makara had once said.
The mark of the Ouroboros is as much a curse as it is a blessing.
And noticing what Professor Shu mentioned.
There used to be 6 snakes encircling each other. There are now only 5.
Normally, I'd try to forget about this thing, but he's right. There used to be 6. Now there's only 5. Tiny, hideous heads, each pointed in an opposite direction of one another.
Dash.
It's changed.
Those that hold the mark are imbued with great power. A connection to the gods and rebirth.
Rebirth. A rap on the front door snaps me out of it. I wrap a towel around my waist and rush across my newly clean apartment to get the door.
Dash?
Coming! Roy!
Aw, jeez, Dash! Why aren't you wearing nothing?
I'll have you know I am wearing my finest towel.
Quit being cute. I don't got time to mess with you.
What's the matter? You don't like what you see?
You gonna let me in? I got what you asked for!
Oh, by all means.
Thank you.
Roy Bailey, Hollywood extra extraordinaire. I met Roy when I was on the force. Caught him in the washroom with another fella. I kept him out of jail, and since then he's been more or less in my back pocket. A place he'd like to be, even if he doesn't want to admit it.
Making me wait outside. Someone could have seen us together, you know. I'm up for a part at Warner's soon.
I loved you as town person number one in that Hepburn picture.
Why you gotta be such a wise guy?
Because I like to get under your skin. It's so easy.
Ah!
Relax. Can I get you a drink? I got ice.
No, I have to get home.
Mother making dinner?
As a matter of fact, yes, she is.
Oh, well, give her a kiss from me.
I won't. Do you want to see what I got for you or not?
Yes, dear. What did you bring home from work today?
Is there a reason you're being a bigger jerk than normal?
I'm just nervous the boys won't like me.
You look trim, more so than usual.
It's my steady diet of bourbon and gin.
The mustache is an interesting touch. Makes you look like a young Ronald Coleman.
Was that supposed to be a compliment?
Depends how much you like Ronald Coleman. When did you get a tattoo?
What's with the third degree? Are you going to need to strip search me? I can drop my towel if that's what you want.
Dash!
Oh, you're no fun. Might as well show me what you brought.
I think this will fit, but you'll need to try it on.
Out of a hat box, Roy pulls a blonde hairpiece.
What do you think?
It looks like a skunk got run over by a bottle of bleach.
Best I could do with last-minute notice. You know I had to call in a few favors for this.
Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it. Maybe I'll find out if gentlemen truly prefer blondes.
Hey, I read that book. I liked it. Should make a picture out of that.
How do you put this thing on?
No, don't do it like that. Come here, let me show you.
Well, I'm going to be wearing a hat over it.
You need to put it on properly or it'll come right off with the hat.
You say the sweetest things.
There's some tape there, and if it doesn't work, I have some beeswax and resin if we need a stronger hold.
Oh, my.
This isn't for anything funny, is it?
As much as I wish it was, it's only for a case.
All right, here, go look at yourself in the mirror. By the way, the place looks nice. Didn't figure you for such a clean apartment.
I head into the bathroom and take a look at the stranger in the mirror. I look different. Not like Dash Malone. Like someone nobody knows. Someone without a past. Someone who could be anyone he wanted. I get lost in this thought of a moment before...
Dash, the door!
I wasn't expecting company.
Dash, you in there?
Who's that?
Sal McGill, my insight on the police force, and a friend.
Dash?
Simmer down. It's just a cop.
A cop?
Hey, buddy, get a look at you. Catch you at an awkward moment?
Not at all, pal. Come on in. Oh, what do you think?
It's different. Got a little mustache going, too. That's an interesting choice. What's with the getup? Halloween ain't for another month or so.
Never too early to dress up is what I always say.
I've never heard you say that. Well, sorry. Didn't know you were entertaining.
Oh, Officer McGill, this is...
Dash!
You'll have to excuse my friend here. He's been giving me a makeover, and he doesn't like cops.
Nothing to worry about. I can scram.
Don't leave on my account. Was just headed out the door myself. Dash, I'll need that back next week.
Give my regards to Mom.
Monday.
Oh, no kiss goodbye.
Have a nice evening, officer. Dash, just be careful.
None of my business, but he the one I talked to the other day, when I phoned?
You mean the morning after you stood me up?
I still feel rotten about that. It just couldn't be helped. I had an emergency. I know I haven't talked to you, was driving by, saw that you were home, figured I'd take a chance and stop in, and, you know, I don't like to stop in unannounced.
Yeah, I remember.
But, you look like you got plans. You're not even dressed yet, so I'll get out of your hair. Your very blonde hair.
I could give Jean Harlow a run for her money, huh?
Seriously, you work in a case, or is this really your new look?
What do you think?
What's the case, and do you need help?
Normally, I wouldn't blink twice taking Sal up on an offer for help, but this is the Half Moon Street, and for as much as I love my pal, it's not a place for him.
I can give you backup if you need it. I'll free up the time.
Pal, I told you, you don't have to clean up my messes anymore.
Croesus, you still on about that? You know that's not what I meant.
Hey, it's okay. Besides, where I'm going, well, you're a natural blonde, Officer McGill, and I don't want to compete with that.
All right. Whatever you say.
Thanks for, stopping in. I appreciate it. I'll catch up with you.
Yeah. I'll catch up with you.
Sal walks out the door, and a sudden guilt starts tugging at me. A familiar guilt. The guilt of not telling him the whole story. The guilt of keeping things from the guy who's been through hell and back with me. But guilt gets you guilty. I gotta keep my ledger clean. I take cold comfort in the fact that I know Sal hasn't been giving me the full story either. My mummy told me so.
You have a son. I wonder, when will you tell your wife about him?
I will kill you!
It was put out there for everyone to hear. Sal knows I heard it, but he hasn't said squat. Hasn't said squat about having a kid. With everything that's gone on between us, I thought we may have gotten over keeping things from each other. I thought we both did. I guess I was wrong. I leave it there, as I have to gussy up for the evening. Heading into the bedroom, I open my rickety dresser and pull on my fanciest pair of jockeys. I slip on a clean white A-shirt and tuck it into the nylon. I catch myself in the mirror again. Who is this blonde man in his underwear staring back at me? I guess we're gonna find out. Thankfully, Cindy cleaned and ironed my spread collar, baby blue, long-sleeve button-down, which I'll touch up with a pair of pearl-colored cufflinks. A blue and black diagonal striped tie with a Windsor knot make the picture. I step into a pair of pleated pale gray slacks, which are held up by gray suspenders, hidden by a roll-collar vest and matching windowpane jacket, complete with double-breasted peak lapels. Checking to make sure both my socks are identical, and they are, I slip on a mostly unscuffed pair of Oxfords. I tuck a baby blue pocket square in my jacket pocket and put on my Hamilton watch with a worn black leather strap. I told Dinah that Smitty the bartender would know me by a white hat. Reaching for an unopened hat box in the back of my closet, I remove a white fedora that Hayes had given me last month as a token of affection.
I saw it and I thought of you.
Mind you, I have never worn a white hat in my life.
Thought it would fit your style.
And I have zero intention to.
I know you'll get a lot of use out of it.
You ever have someone give you something that you just know you're never gonna use?
I just wanted to do something special for you.
Well, I guess it's the thought that counts. What exactly it counts for, I'm not quite sure. However, I kept it at the back of my closet, just in case. And since Dash Malone wouldn't be caught dead wearing a white hat, my new blonde alter ego has a complete look.
For you. A gift.
A gift. The gold ID bracelet sits on top of my dresser. The one I had gifted Plink. The one Plink had engraved in Egypt and gifted back to me. Engraved with an ancient prayer given by the gods to two fellows with names longer than a grocery list.
Kumonotep and Nyankunam.
Or Ken and Nick, as I call them. This prayer that Plink had engraved into the metal somehow connected Ken and Nick to each other many centuries ago. I believe Plink was gifting this back to me, with the prayer intact to somehow connect us, more so than we had ever been.
Just know what it says is written on my heart.
And it did. When I recited the prayer in front of Impetu, the mummy, it freed all of the lost souls that he had collected, including Plink's.
Recite it! You know it! It is etched into your soul!
My soul. I pick it up to clasp it around my wrist. But as I do...
I'm not leaving your side. I'll always be here. The next time we meet, you'll understand. I promise.
Whoa. I grab hold of the rickety dresser and steady myself. It happened. Again. Plink. I shake off whatever that was, and I make a choice. I'm going to leave the bracelet here. Whatever that was, it's important. But I'm not going to figure it out tonight. No. Tonight isn't about that at all. Leaving the bracelet on the dresser, I get one final look at myself in the mirror, and I enter the night that's been calling me.
You have been listening to Dash, the Case of the Missing Detective, starring Jared Calhoun, Sarah Luciano, Jay Mazzola, Thomas Robert Irvin, Deborah Billups, Lee Jacobs, Walter McCready, Joel Gerlach, Griffin Horn, Richard Dietz, Christopher Tolomeo, Shana Massad, Christopher Lenz, Mick Lauro, and Carlos Giga. Written and directed by Dave Ebersole. Sound design by Mick Lauro. Music by Christopher Tolomeo and Mick Lauro. Cover art by Vinnie Rico. Executive producer Mick Lauro. Dash created by Dave Ebersole and Delia Gable. Dash the Podcast is a Light Booth Blackout production. Stay tuned in 2 weeks for the next chapter of The Case of the Missing Detective. Of course, you can hear it early and ad-free on Patreon. Patreon.com/LightBoothBlackout. Thank you for listening. I'm John Barker. Until next time, keep your eyes peeled. Once you know what to watch for, you always know there's more to the story.
Thirty years ago, in a small Bay Area town, a killer kidnapped three men and dumped their bodies in a secluded valley just off Interstate 80. But then, just as quickly as the killings began, they suddenly stopped. The men and their murder were quickly forgotten, overshadowed by other notorious serial killers prowling the same Bay Area roads. In this season of Crime Adjacent, host and serial killer survivor Chase Patrick returns home to uncover what really happened in Ridgewood and to answer the question once and for all. How could the most prolific serial murderer in American history slip under the radar for so long? Crime Adjacent is the never-ending true crime story told weekly. Listen to Crime Adjacent wherever you listen to podcasts.